Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleasant good afternoon to you. Thursday, December 5th, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. In just a moment, we'll hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're on Facebook. Give us a like. Follow us on Twitter. Steve Jones PSU on Twitter. Big day.
Station made a huge announcement today.
He did, yeah.
Interim title has been removed.
Gone.
And
now he would be now he's truly the suit. Or do we flip it to the exec?
No, he's the forever the suit. And we congratulate him on getting the job.
We sure do.
And he deserves it.
It pained you to say that. It's like watching Happy Days when it was hard for Fonzie to say it was wrong.
So now I refuse to refer to him, even though the memo said we had to call him Your Highness. I refuse to.
Oh, really? I didn't go that far down in the email. I didn't see that.
Oh, why was it bold? So I decided to take a moment and look at the station bylaws, and I think I found a solution.
So we have a loophole.
There is a codicil. It's entitled Impeachment. So we're not.
One word I didn't think I'd hear on this show. I figured this was the one show on WKOK from 3 to 5 that'd be one word we wouldn't hear.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, my man. I just want to say I hate you people. Hearings begin Monday.
Not those hearings, these hearings.
And to be honest with you, okay, this won't take long.
You mean there's no bureaucratic red tape to deal with here?
No. Now, I will compromise if Matty Ice is named the play-by-play guy for Chicago football.
Well, it's not like you just started lobbying for that here at the beginning of the show, so...
Oh, no, I know talent when I hear it.
That's right.
I'm talented. I understand before every staff meeting, he writes his own intro. All right. I'm on a roll.
We're not even 5 minutes in.
I'm on a roll.
See, this would have been phenomenal content for you to use tonight at the holiday party.
Oh, that's right. That's tonight. Oh,
I know.
Yeah. I would have gone.
I know you would have.
I've gone to the last two. You know, the one that where Roger introduces me to as many advertisers as possible and tells Kevin to go sit down someplace. Yeah.
And last year, for a while, he did. That's right.
I'm working the room. Unusual. Never thought about doing it that way.
I said to recollect my thoughts and get refocused. But I will send my best from you to everybody at the party tonight. Oh, speaking of the executive, here he is. There he is.
Great. Hours into it, we're slacking.
He's holding up.
He's holding up my show. What's it?
Oh, we just had a whole bunch of holiday centerpieces show up here at the station that we're taking to the holiday parties. He's policing that in the hallways right now.
You can't put a price on executive decisions.
That's right.
Okay, today, Matt Lombardo, Giants beat writer from NJ.com. Ed Sherman, author of This Is Big, the official history of the Big Ten Conference, how the Big Ten set the standard in college sports. You can order online at BigTenBook.com. Also today, we'll have on at 4:35, Ben Jones, StayCollege.com. And tomorrow, from ESPN, Brad Edwards.
Oh, great. Great to have Brad back. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the college football playoff. Next week, Johnny Holiday on Monday. Maryland is 9-0. They get Illinois this week at home.
Yeah, they have a shot at being number one before we have Johnny on Monday.
Yes. Johnny knows that feeling. He broadcasts their national championship. Tuesday, Tony Knopp joins us. Next Thursday, our second high school football roundtable. Different set of panelists this time to give. So in the end, we'll have six different opinions to go through.
Yes, we will have Greg Wetzel joining us next week for a Green Dragons play-by-play announcer on 100.9 The Valley, a.k.a. The Suit, a.k.a. our new executive. His broadcast partner, the Chief, Dave Ritchie, be with us next Thursday. And also, to get the coach's perspective, we're going to bring in Sewens Grove Seals head coach, Derek Hicks.
The Suit's back on again?
Well, that'll be a week from tomorrow for the picks.
Oh, to do the picks.
The
college picks.
Yes.
Yeah. The bowl picks.
Right.
Yeah. Ah. Well. Yes, he's won that, what, three times in a row?
Twice, three times, yes.
Wow. Impressive.
Actually, five.
What, in 5 years in a row?
Yeah.
It's funny because I mentioned Roger. I said if he'd put as much into the sales part as he does into the pick part.
Picks.
That's cruel. That may be interim for months.
Maybe cruel, but it's rather accurate.
I freely admit, I'm like, okay, who's playing again?
Yeah, and actually, Kevin and the Chief will be back at it this weekend as basketball season starts across the valley. Macy Minear tournament will be going on this weekend, so we'll have both Chickalemme games for you on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I go to Ohio. So tomorrow's show is going to be from Columbus, by the way.
Yeah.
Huh. So we'll do the show from Columbus tomorrow.
Yeah, impressive showing last night by Ohio State, and also a very impressive showing by the Nittany Lions. And how about that phenomenal first opening minute by Mike Watkins? Wow, boy, did he set the tone for the night last night.
Saturday, Penn State will play the best team it has played so far, Ohio State. Saturday, Ohio State will play the best team it's played so far, Penn State. They've both been that good. Well, last night, Ohio State went to North Carolina, won at 74-49. You know what all eight Ohio State victories have in common? Not one team has shot better than 40% against them this season. How about that? Their defense has been phenomenal. That'll be a good game Saturday at noon. Now, are we carrying that game? I don't know what the high school basketball schedule is.
I believe the basketball won't be until late afternoon, early evening.
So our game at noon's on?
Yes.
Oh, good.
We do have plans to broadcast, well, it would be a portion of the SEC championship game, so it just all depends on what time the Shikellamy basketball game will be.
So we have a choice between Georgia LSU and something the suit's doing.
Yeah. That's right.
I could make that decision in 15 seconds. Come on. It's not funny.
His gut instinct says it'll be a 7:06 airtime on Saturday night. So.
His gut instinct.
But of course, that all depends on how they do tomorrow night.
The only time I ever rely on his gut instinct is when we're at Denny's. All right, so we'll come back with more in a moment.
You're going to say Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's.
That too. Both of them.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, would you get the medium frosty or the chocolate frosty? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, fun show today. We'll have Matt Lombardo on, the Giants beat writer, as they get ready for the Eagles on Monday night in a game you'll hear on Eagle 107 with Merrill Reese, Mike Quick, Matt Lombardo on the Giants, Eli Manning, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, all coming up at 3:35. Ed Sherman, author of This Is Big, the official history of the Big Ten Conference, how the Big Ten set the standard in college sports. You can order online at BigTenBook.com. And BenJonesStateCollege.com, final half hour and last night's big Penn State win over Wake Forest in the ACC Challenge. Penn State and Ohio State Saturday at noon on, beginning at 11:30. Tomorrow we'll have on the show Brad Edwards from ESPN, the King with Picks. Monday, Johnny Holiday. Tuesday, Tony Knopp. Next Thursday, our second high school football roundtable. And then next Friday, the 13th, the suit joins us, who's the five-time defending champion on bowl picks. And we will go through our bowl picks for this year, because we'll have the full list as of Sunday. And we're going to do it on the 13th, because the first bowl game is actually at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 20th, which means if we did it, the bowl season would be already underway. So that's where we're going to do it, before all the bowls start. a week out, and then we'll start keeping track. Then we'll get the frequent text messages. I'm 7-1. I am now 15-2. Like, you just sit there and go, I don't even remember who I picked. Well, how come you're not keeping track? Oh, I don't know. I got a game with Alabama. I got a game with Central Connecticut. I got a bowl game. It's like I got a little busy. All right. So that's what we have going on. The Colin Kaepernick workout has led to an NFL deal for one of the receivers who was in the workout. It's not the way they thought it was going to work. Kaepernick was supposed to get that deal. Now, and tonight it's the Cowboys and the Bears. America is riveted on this one. Dak Prescott, who, to his credit, I think is... in a season where the Cowboys are 6-6, I think Prescott's given a really good account of himself. I'll tell you who has not given a good account of himself. Zeke Elliott. I don't think he's had a good season. At least by his standards. I mean, to me, he looks a little overweight. He doesn't look as quick. I don't think he's playing really to the standard we expect him to play.
Well, when you decide to hang in Cancun instead of being with your teammates in training camp, that may have something to do with it. So,
just saying, it's something that's hurt Dallas. It's hurt Dallas.
But you see other running backs in the league that have an edge. They have an edge when they run. And it just seems like with Zeke, you just don't see that. He just doesn't have that edge, you know, just run. You're running with ferocity.
And then there's Mitch Trubisky. Okay, let's go to the next topic.
He didn't play all that badly last weekend, but compared to earlier in the season, wow, probably nowhere else to go, you know, but up for that guy. So we just wonder tonight which Dallas team is going to show up and see if the Bears can see what they can salvage on offense.
Well, they don't know.
Yeah.
The Bears don't know offensively what they have, and the Cowboys have no idea what they have. Again, I think Dak Prescott's played very well this year. He is not the reason why the Cowboys have raised eyebrows. I think he's been quite the opposite. I think he's been the guy that's allowed them to hang in there. They've got issues.
Plus, a contract renegotiation will be looming large in the offseason.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Yeah. $30 million plus per year.
Then how do you put together a team when you have so much money tied up into one player? That's always been the dilemma, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. How do you then distribute the money when one player takes up that much cap space? But in this league, you need to have a quality quarterback. Matt Lombardo, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to more college football later. Penn State basketball beat Wake Forest last night by 22. Ohio State beat North Carolina by 25. They play each other Saturday at noon. We're on beginning at 11:30, and tomorrow's show will be from Columbus. Matt Lombardo does a great job as the Giants beat writer, NFL insider for NJ.com. Matt, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Hey, before we get too much into this Giants game, I got to ask you the $8.5 million question. Is James Franklin getting an extension or what?
I think he's put himself in a pretty good position for one. How about that?
I agree with you. And I think that for all the Penn State fans who are listening, if you want to look at what happened, go look westward and look what's happened in Texas and Nebraska when you don't have the type of coach you can bring in elite talent year over year. You think those teams wouldn't take 10-2 seasons every year?
Oh, see, and that's what happens, you know. They thought they could take another step with somebody else. And you got to realize 10-win seasons are great because guess what? If you're a 10-win team year in and year out, the door's open to them being an 11- or 12-win team.
totally agree. And I think that the caliber of talent that James is bringing in there every year, and if they could dump some resources into the facilities and keep the coaching staff intact, I see no reason why they can't take that next step and compete with Ohio State every year and join the Clemsons and the Georgias and the Alabamas to be a traditional championship caliber contender moving forward as long as he's the head coach.
Yeah, and he's done that with he and his staff. They put them in that position. The hardest step, though, as you know, Matt, is that last one where you fight your way to get to this spot. It takes so much hard work to get there. But then that last hurdle is sometimes the highest one, and that's where they are right now.
Yep, no, I totally agree.
All right, so let's get to the Giants. I want to start with Daniel Jones. He's been handed the keys to the car. Obviously, he's not going to play on Monday night. Is he better now than a month ago?
Yeah, Steve, I think with any rookie quarterback, you got to look at this two ways. How high is the ceiling and how low is the floor? And I look at Daniel Jones, and I think that the floor is pretty low because you look at how many times he's lost 11 fumbles in 10 starts. Three of them were returned for touchdowns, and then the Bears turned one of his lost fumbles into a touchdown in their ensuing possession. And look at the three multi-interception performances, two three-interception games. So there are a lot of areas where he really needs to improve over this offseason. But I think the ceiling can be pretty high as well because you look at some of the throws that he's made. His touchdown pass in the fourth quarter to Golden Tate against the Bears is one of the more impressive throws I've seen any quarterback make in recent years. Had some really nice throws to Sterling Shepard in the snow, especially his touchdown pass to Shepard last week against the Packers. So there's a lot to like. There's also a lot that he needs to build on. And when you look around the league, it's year two when these young quarterbacks really take a significant leap forward. Carson Wentz in Philadelphia was kind of where Jones was. Struggled protecting the football, had some tired arm issues towards the end of the year. He's an MVP caliber player his second season. Lamar Jackson, looks like a generational talent, MVP caliber his second season. Patrick Mahomes, same deal with him in Kansas City. Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl in his third season, made the playoffs in his second season. So if you're the Giants, regardless of who the head coach is, they need to go out and get Daniel Jones a legitimate game-breaking speedster at wide receiver to help loosen up some of these defenses, open up things for Saquon Barkley, and Jones needs to do his part by spreading the ball around and cutting down on the turnovers. But I think that in terms of his skill set, his coachability, and his mentality and all of those things, I think he has all the tools to be a franchise quarterback. It's just, can he take that step, and will the Giants do enough to put him in a position to do it?
Saquon Barkley is a special talent. He's a generational talent. For him in this particular season, how much of it is the offensive line and how much is it that high ankle sprain?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, Steve. And Saquon has swore up and down for weeks that he wasn't hurt, and he had a couple nice runs against the Bears, especially after the catch on a 47-yard screen. He turned into a 47-yard gain on a screen pass where he made some moves in the open field, and he asked us afterwards, did I look hurt? The answer is obviously no, but I wrote after the Jet game when he was held to 1 yard on 13 carries that he just didn't look right. And I think that there was something to be said at that point to potentially shutting him down, limiting the wear and tear on his body and what's become another lost season for the Giants. But this offensive line has really regressed over this season. Nate Solder has gotten worse. Will Hernandez is not the player in year two that he was a rookie last season. And I had one talent evaluator around the league say that when you have the perfect storm of Daniel Jones trying to read subtitles in terms of reading defenses against the run when the VHS is in fast forward mode and Will Hernandez whiffing on assignments or blocking the wrong man, it's really a recipe for disaster in the run game. So I think it's really been a confluence of issues that have impacted Saquon Barkley, but you can tell between the losing and his lack of production, it's really starting to wear on him. He's wearing his frustration on his sleeve. I think that this is the first time he's really lost this frequently and struggled this much, dating all the way back to his time at Whitehall. So I think that's wearing on him. But there's no doubt that if the Giants can bulk up the offensive line over the offseason and get an Odell Beckham type of wide receiver to take the top off of defenses and not allow them to stack the box so frequently, that there's no reason that next season you won't see more of the Saquon Barkley that we saw as a rookie next season versus the one that we've seen this year.
Something about the Patriots that I've always admired on their part, and it's business. I mean, you know, we all get sentimental about players. But they always have seemed to have had the ability to figure out what the shelf life of a player happens to be. And then they, quote, cut bait, or if somebody walks in free agency, they let them go. Is Nate Solder an example of that?
I think in a lot of ways, yes. I think that you look at, you're absolutely right. The track record of Bill Belichick, if they let a guy go, they're typically not wrong. And I think that when you look at Nate Solder, I think that he was so used to blocking for Tom Brady, how quickly Brady gets rid of the football, kind of his mannerisms in the pocket, that you put him into an offensive line next to Will Hernandez, who was a rookie last season, Eli Manning, who tends to hold on to the football longer than most quarterbacks, doesn't have the mobility even of a Brady. And I think you get Solder out of that Patriot way in the New England Patriots system, he just hasn't been the same player. And that's one of the albatrosses in these terrible contracts that Dave Gettleman has given out. When they signed Nate Solder, he was the highest paid offensive lineman in the league, and he certainly hasn't performed up to that level.
What do you think of the Giants' defense?
I think they have no identity. They lack talent, and they're poorly coached. Other than that, how's the play, Mrs. Lincoln? How'd it go? I look at every week, whether it's Grant Haley in the slot or Corey Ballantyne, a fifth-round rookie in the slot, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky or Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't seem to matter. Quarterbacks are finding the slot corner, and they're just targeting them over and over and over throughout the course of the game. And I think Haley might be the Giants' best back seven run defender, but he's become a little bit of a liability against the pass. I think that the Janoris Jenkins is wildly inconsistent. I think they don't have an answer at outside cornerback opposite him because Sam Beal has struggled, and DeAndre Baker, who they drafted in the first round, has really disappointed and not lived up to expectations. They're struggling to generate any sort of pressure on the quarterback, and they really just don't have a legitimate pass rush at this point. So I look at this defense, and you can put a lot of the blame on coaching and the fact that they keep making the same mistakes over and over. But other than Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams and Jabril Peppers when he's healthy and at times Janoris Jenkins, Steve, they're just low on talent and offenses are making them pay. There's no way to hide that many deficiencies against an NFL offensive coordinator and an NFL quarterback.
If Chase Young's available, should he be the Giants pick?
Yes, if Chase Young's on the board, Dave Gettleman probably doesn't run very fast, but he should hand the draft card to somebody who runs very, very fast, and they should sprint that card up to Roger Goodell and call out Chase Young's name, because this is a defense that's in desperate need of a pass rusher. They haven't had a double-digit pass rusher since Jason Pierre-Paul 3.5-4 years ago. Marcus Golden might surpass that point this year, but you can't build a defense around Marcus Golden at this stage of his career, as high motor a player as he is. They need a dominant, game-changing pass rusher, and you saw what he could do in the shoe against Penn State. He's a generational pass rusher, in my opinion, right behind Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa. If the Giants can add him, I think he's immediately the most talented player on that defense and maybe the second most talented player on the roster.
Right. Okay, I want to get to Eli Manning now. He gets another opportunity because Daniel Jones is out. Do you have any idea what to expect?
You know, I really don't, Steve, other than I think that if you're fortunate enough to be in the fantasy playoffs and you have Saquon Barkley on your roster and it's a PPR league, you're about to get rewarded, because I think I could see a scenario where Saquon Barkley catches 10 to 12 dump-off passes. I don't know what kind of yardage that translates to, but you look at what Saquon Barkley's role was in the passing game last year. You look at what Eli Manning did and didn't do in the first two games this year before getting benched. He didn't push the ball downfield nearly as often as Daniel Jones does. Eli Manning's security blanket in the passing game is dumping it off to Saquon Barkley on screen passes or behind the line of scrimmage. I think that continues. And I think it's really a shame for the Giants and their fans that if this is it for Daniel Jones, if he's unable to go the rest of the way, you really can't evaluate any further Pat Shurmur, because much of his future, unless he's already been given some sort of assurance that his future is tied to Daniel Jones beyond this season and he's going to be back, there's nothing Eli Manning can do or Pat Shurmur can do over the final month of the year to change their mind or change their perception about whether they bring him back or not. So to me, it's kind of unfortunate that Eli Manning will be back there in terms of how that impacts the future of the Giants. But I think you're going to see a much more lateral passing game versus one that pushes the ball downfield on Monday night.
All right, so now let's get to the Eagles. 2 years ago, they're Super Bowl champions, Matt. Now they're a 5-7 team that's been handed the opportunity over and over again the last 3 weeks to take the lead in the division, and they can't. They're still a game back. Why?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of issues there, Steve. I think that part of it is you look at the defense, and their secondary has a lot of the same issues that the Giants have. They struggle with cornerback. They're not getting consistent play from Ronald Darby or Avante Maddox. I think that, you know, their offensive line has been banged up, and when Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks aren't in there, it really derails their offense. I think they were injured at wide receiver, and I'm not convinced that Carson Wentz is anything more than maybe the 14th or 15th best quarterback in the league right now. Wow. He's certainly not any higher than that when he doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson to throw the ball to. So I think injuries have really taken a toll on both sides of the ball. But I think bigger picture, I think there are some real issues inside that locker room, and a lot of the fabric that kept that group together and really gelled during that Super Bowl run has kind of fallen apart. And I think that if the Eagles miss the playoffs, there could be significant fallout with both coordinators, Jim Schwartz and Mike Groh, in terms of their futures with the franchise. I think the Eagles are the more talented team Monday night, but I don't think that they have enough talent compared to the Dallas Cowboys to get it done and actually win this division.
And yet the Cowboys are 6-6. So again, I'll simplify the question. Why?
Yeah, I think they have a lot of talent. I think that Dak Prescott, I think, is a lot better and more talented of a quarterback than a lot of people give him credit for. Amari Cooper is a game breaker. I think their biggest issue is there's just too much outside noise. When you have the owner, Jerry Jones, stepping out every week, maybe twice a week, taking the temperature of Jason Garrett's job security, the undue pressure of this being a quote-unquote Super Bowl or bust season for whatever reason, that seems to be suddenly the buzzword and the mentality of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. I think that's a lot of distractions to try to put on the back burner, especially when Garrett's on the hot seat himself. I think that the same locker room issues that have kind of torn up Philadelphia are taking a toll in Dallas. And I think for all their talent, I think they do have enough to win the division. I think that they do beat the Eagles when they play them at Lincoln Financial Field. But if they lost and the Eagles won the division, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Hey, I was asking about Zeke Elliott. I know he's an incredible talent. He's had some really good moments this year. But he seems a bit heavy to me and doesn't quite seem as quick. A, is there something to that? And if there is, has it contributed to the Cowboys not being as explosive as we thought they would be?
Yeah, I think part of that might date all the way back to that holdout. When you sit out all of training camp and you're away from the facility, I think it's almost natural not to be in peak physical condition when you get back. And sometimes it takes some time to, you know, get back into the swing of things, even 14 weeks into a regular season. So I think that might have contributed to some of this. But I think a lot of the Dallas Cowboys' issues are it's almost intangible. I mean, you watch that game on Thanksgiving against the Buffalo Bills, and I thought that they were plenty explosive with Amari Cooper and a couple nice deep balls from Dak Prescott. But there's just something about them not being able to close out teams, not being able to close out games. I think there's some friction in that locker room that I think is as big of an issue for them being 6-6 than anything that's going on with Ezekiel Elliott.
You know, it's interesting because you and I have been around a lot of teams, Matt, and there are certain teams that whatever that walk onto the field and instead of feeling like they have something to win, they feel like they have something to lose. And I feel like Dallas is acting like a team that feels like it has something to lose.
Oh, I totally agree. And I think that, again, that stems from Jerry Jones and him stepping up to the microphone in the hallway after every single game, his weekly radio show that he does, and, you know, the comment where he said that they're not going to fire Jason Garrett in season because they still think they're going to the Super Bowl. What is that? The subtext to that is we're firing Jason Garrett at the end of the season if we don't go to the Super Bowl. So that's a lot of pressure to put on a team in the middle of the year, and I think that it also seals the head coach's fate in a lot of ways, and it's only natural for Garrett to look around. And I think that's where the report that he'd have interest in the Giants surfaced a couple weeks ago from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, and I think it's is only natural for players to look around and say, well, why am I giving 100% for this guy who's not even going to be here? So I think it's just a dysfunctional situation, but in the end, I think their roster is talented enough to overcome some of that and at least make the postseason.
You have to cover the Giants, obviously, and watch them play. How often have you had a chance to see Lamar Jackson, and if so, what have you thought?
He's unbelievable. Steve, he's everything that you saw from Patrick Mahomes and maybe then some. Add in a little more athleticism, add in a lot more explosiveness and elusiveness in the open field. Some of the throws I've seen him make, just, you know, weaving the ball between two defenders on a sidearm motion, throwing on the run, you scratch your head and you wonder, how did he just do that? I think it's incredible to watch. I think that the team that the Ravens have built is capable of going to a Super Bowl this year, and quite frankly, I'm kind of excited to see what his ceiling is, because I think it's limitless for him as a quarterback, and I think we're going to see duels in the future in the AFC Championship game between Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, a la Brady and Peyton Manning. It might not happen this year because you always have to worry about Brady and the Patriots, but the fact that he was able to beat Brady and beat New England in Baltimore, I think that's impressive, and I think that the future is bright for the Ravens and certainly for the Chiefs with those two quarterbacks at the helm.
How much has Brady been? I know Brady's 42. I got that. So he's not going to be able to do everything that a 32-year-old Tom Brady can do. But how much has been set back by their receiving situation?
Yeah, they certainly didn't give him much help. And they're going to go as far as their defense can take them this year, which is kind of a little bit different than what we've seen in recent years, but kind of a continuation of what we saw in the Super Bowl. If you go back to Atlanta, and you look at that game against the Rams last February, they couldn't move the ball up and down the field. That offense was stagnant. That offense was stalled out had it not been for two big catches on a fourth quarter drive by Rob Gronkowski. But they won the game because Brian Flores, who was the defensive coordinator, had a brilliant game plan, really shut down Jared Goff, really took away Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp, and they really strangled the Rams offense. And I think that that's kind of what we're seeing New England do. And as Tom Brady has aged, the defense has kind of picked up the baton and ran with it. This might be their last run. Maybe it's not. Maybe Brady has enough for one or two more seasons. But I think they go as far this year as their defense carries them. And that might be pretty far.
Matt, absolute pleasure. It's always great to talk with you. You know that.
You got it, brother. Thanks for having me on. We are.
You bet. Matt Lombardo, NJ.com, Giants beat writer, NFL insider. Next half hour, Ed Sherman on his new book on the history of the Big Ten. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.